listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Well, good afternoon, good evening, good morning. Welcome to, I know we've got a few listeners in the Far East and Australia now, so welcome to everybody there, and welcome to everybody in America, and to anybody who's still awake in Britain, yeah, welcome too, because this is the Insomniac Express, broadcasting live from Scotland, UK, Eurozone, New World Order Zone 1, the British Climactic Empire. Here we are, right near Balmoral and Loch Ness. This is JP. Well, welcome. Tonight, my guest is you. If you wish to call in and become another test subject for the ongoing what the hell are all the rays all about question, then please do call in. I've got... Well, I'm really interested in the energies of the people who are listening to this, and indeed, I always have been. This is one of the things that I started out was I was looking for somebody to teach me more about the rays, and I started to look at internet radio and listen around, and nobody was talking about it, so I thought, oh, that's interesting. But, you know, I listen to interesting people like Cliff High and David Wilcock and, you know, these other people and, you know, following them. And then suddenly I got asked on a show and started doing my party trick was to read people's rays. And what I've discovered is that there are certain soul groups who are involved in this whole change and that there are personalities which perform different roles within the soul groups. It's fascinating that when the people call in, not only am I able, I mean, the bit that I get out of it is I find out more rays. I've got a kind of statistic building up thing going on. I've been doing this for about 3 years now, and so as a statistical build up of the data that has all the, knowledge of what is going on, you know, what energies are being used here. What are the gods using to change the way the world is? And so what we're finding, or what I'm finding, we, you know, like me, cause, you know, there are very few other people who are actually interested in this stuff, or interested enough to be able to, use it in a practical way. Although I have a few friends who, you know, in various different parts of the world are doing things with this stuff. I have one friend who is a clothing designer, and she determines the soul ray of the person and say, you know, this is the one you need. You know, you need this lovely lilac purple here, you know. So she makes amazing stuff. I think it's Mudra. Look up Rita Hooray's. I've had her on the show before. So basically you can walk around in the color of your soul energy. Now, if you're into that kind of thing, it would be really cool because your clothing would be completely in harmony with the energy that you're putting out. And that's the whole thing. And it was very interesting when I was talking with Sean David Morton a couple of weeks ago, discussing his body swap. Information that he hadn't actually spoken about anywhere else, because what he did a body swap is a Tibetan technique that he learned when he was out in the mountains, of how to connect with your future self and kind of step out of your body in this timeline and go into their body. And he did the same. And, it was for a public meeting. There were about 1,000 people there nearly. And, he did this demonstration of his future self speaking through channeling, in, as it were, or, you know, like a walk-in. What did you call them? Ramtha does with Jay-Z Knight. Basically stepping into the body and taking possession of the vehicle. And he did that with his future self, and his future self did that with him. And he told some very interesting things, and it's all in a thing called the Vajra Chronicles. Vajra, which means thunderbolt, is the name of his future self, who happens to be his grandson. It's all very complex. Anyway, and he was describing that they all walk around in clothing that is electrical in nature. It's conductive, and that it's also colored according to your energies. So it really, you know, everything's in harmony. In the future world that he came from, everything's in harmony, and they know the laws of harmony. And the laws of harmony are the laws of music, and the laws of music are the same rays, same energies as the laws of light and color, because it's all the same stuff. It's all how frequencies combine, how frequencies harmonize, how you can make a minor sixth or a major seventh in color. How do you do that? Well, it's very simple. You just get the frequencies and you mix the frequencies in the same way. In a way, it all comes down to mathematics and geometry. And, music is about mathematics and geometry. And geometry is about the form of things. Geometry, geo, the earth, metry, measurement. So in the beginning, geometry is the measurement of the earth. Interesting. Geography is being able to draw it back out again. But geometry started out as measuring the earth. And when they discovered that there was heavenly geometry that was going on, and one of the most interesting things is the relationship between the size of the moon, the size of the earth, and the Great Pyramid. It turns out that if you have your circle and you do your sacred design, and you start a circle at the beginning, at the bottom of the pyramid, and you draw a circle, and it touches the sides of the pyramid, la la la, and then you draw another little circle that fits in the top where the triangle points out of the circle. You put another circle in there, and you scale that. That's the exact comparison of the size of the moon to the earth. I mean, it's just like, whoop, hey, pops in. There are all these amazing coincidences about the size of the moon being the same size as the sun when we look at it from the earth. You know, that's a real coincidence. Or is it? Anyway, we won't talk much about, yeah, I don't know, talk about the moon so much. Ah, somebody's talking to me. Freedom Screen 2 is no good. Oh, right, okay. You can try wolfspirit.switchboard. That has the phone. Thank you very much, Dave Corso, for doing that. I just got this message. Who's that from? Toys. Yeah, Toys, if you want, there's other telephone numbers who we have. Let me just find that. You can call in on 310-421-4053. Try that again. 310-421-4053. That's the telephone number for Studio B at Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If indeed you enjoy the radios, stations and shows that are broadcasting on Revolution Radio, do come along and hit the support page and find out how you can help. You can subscribe. The easiest way and the most kind of, you know, an exchange way is that the air time is free, and the archives, you pay something, because that takes up space and we need to rent space, and, you know, computers and power supplies and rent and all that, it costs real money, so we need to be able to raise that. So do come along and go to the support page and see one of the various things you can do. I mean, a great one, this is one I really like, and I'd really, if I had $100, I would do so, is if you you can buy like a seed pack, which makes us money, gives you 35,000 seeds or something ridiculously huge, which is a wonderful, you know, it's a wonderful exchange, and that will help Revolution Radio keep on the air, it'll also mean that you get the best kind of survival, the best kind of what do you call it, flipping the bird to the man. When you plant seeds, that's, you know, there's no packaging. You don't need to go to the supermarket. It comes out of your ground. You just have to plan ahead and have a bit of dirt. But you can, you know, there are other ways of growing vegetables. You know, I've seen so many now. You just have to be creative. Anything is like that has any kind of bowl shape, you know, and a bit of drainage. Anything that will hold dirt, you know, you can stick things in. So you can take old guttering, take a whole bunch of old guttering, make a little frame, tie them to the frame, and fill them with dirt, and you've got a whole bunch of little rows of things that you can plant, lettuces and radishes and all kinds of little herbs and spices that you can grow vertically instead of growing horizontally. And it's also better for your back because you don't have to bend down all the way. That's good for me. I like that. Anyway, it's tonight is the free Ray readings. Oh, right, hey. It's good to have you all here. I would love to talk to somebody. I'd like to invite you all to call in and try to call in at least. If you want to come in on Skype, you can come in on Freedom Screen 2, although apparently that's not working. You can also come in on wolfspirit.switchboard. We're being simulcast with Wolf Spirit Radio at this moment. Anyway, so where were we? You're all talking about dogs and guns. I said that my guest was you. If you want to call in, you can call in and speak to me, and we can discuss stuff. So where are we? Let's have a look at the old chat room. Anybody talking to me? No. Who cares? Nobody cares about that. There's about 10 times as many people listening to Studio One as there are Studio Two. But I don't mind. Vertical gardens are cool. I would love to talk about more of the rays. So what are, you know, that's where I started and somehow digressed. I wonder why. So I'm finding the groupings of people who are calling into these shows, in general, tend to be from the Ray 6 and Ray 7 soul group, with a smattering of the Ray 2 soul group. Mostly the Monad group is Ray 2, with a very small smattering of Ray 1 and Ray 3. What does that mean? So we are looking at so many different kinds of... Oh, there we go. That's what I wanted. Yes. 8-5-6-9-9-8-5.
Hello. Yes, you sound like you're begging for somebody to call, so I figured I'd call in and talk to you.
I'm begging. Well, I'm not really begging. I can talk on about stuff, but I really want to talk to people, you see, because it's the network, and it's important to connect with everybody who's listening, and it grounds out what I'm talking about. So, what? How can I address you? What's your name?
I'm having a hard time breaking up.
Am I really breaking up? Oh, is somebody else calling in? Oh, this is going to be good. Yeah, hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Not very well. Audio is very poor.
I've had trouble with my band. It's not very good this week. So let me see. If you just hold on, mute yourself if you can. If you're not, directly speaking to me because the background noises can interfere with the call. Right.
Okay, that seems to work.
Yes. Okay, good. So, this other caller has dropped off because I wasn't paying her. Lovely. So, 775, welcome. Are you in for Rob?
No, I'm in Reno.
In Reno. All right, so 775 must be a sort of Nevada sort of thing. Anyway, greetings. Who am I speaking to?
My name's Gary.
Hi, Gary.
G-A-R-Y.
Hello, Gary. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Well, tell us about more or less, you know, what your area is about, what the weather is. I just need you to talk, actually.
Okay. It's been I haven't lived here for very long for a year. What I understand from people here that is it's unusually warm right now. This time of year. So, and then in the November-December time frame of 2013, it was unusually cold. So it's been kind of weird here lately.
Good, good. Okay, I got you. So, Gary, we've been talking about different groups and monad groups, and I think you could safely say that in terms of where you're at, in terms of what your world purpose would be, part of what you're doing is helping the change in humanity. And what you're doing is overcoming, one of the things that you're doing is overcoming your addictive force. Is something that's relevant to you.
I have to think about that, but I don't. It doesn't resonate right at the moment.
Right. So basically, what I'm saying is, you have a Manad Ray 2, Soul Ray 7, and Personality Ray 6, and so. People who are arrived, I mean, generally, arrives from the Ray 6 group, and you're just incarnating into this new energy. And it's partly a way of allowing it. No. Okay, so do you know this thing about the Piscean Age and the Aquarian Age? You know about this big change that's going on?
Well, I understand that there will be a change, but it will not suddenly. It will be over a period of time, fairly long period of time, actually.
That's correct. Right. That's correct. It is a gradual process, and it's more than one lifetime. But we're at the point, you know, if one curve is dying away and another curve is starting, we're beyond the point when the curves have crossed with each other. And, in fact, we're at the very, very end of the dying away of the old. And the old age ray was Ray 6, which is the ray of devotion, which has kind of matured into fanaticism and blind patriotism and all the other isms. In fact, every single ism is a Ray 6 thing. It's all about belief systems and ideals and my God's better than your God and I'm going to blow you up because your God's stupid or your God's green or poor. You know, all the divisions of this world are occurring because of the sixth ray. And, you know, being today the day that it is in terms of what might be going on in Russia and all of these things, it's a very, very important thing that we can grab a hold of, because the more people can understand that Ray 6 is something that needs to be calmed down a little bit. It's a bit like having an uncontrollable dog that you need to calm down quite a bit. You know, that it hears noise and it starts barking, you know, and you've got to calm down again. That's the energy of the sixth ray. It gets excited about things. It's incredibly enthusiastic and passionate. But the dark side of that is it gets over angry and raging and ranting and, you know, all the other things that gets destructive. So we're moving into the Aquarian age, right? So the Aquarian age is much cooler. It's much more chilled, and, you know, words like cool and chill have come in these times. When things started going to hippie. The hippies are Ray 2 people, and they're bringing love into mix, because in order to move from one age to another, we need some, it's a bit like an elbow, you know, it needs some lubrication, it needs some grizzle. And that's the Ray 2 people who can ameliorate the change between Ray 6 and Ray 7. And so when somebody is evolving, they'll be moving from their personality energy to their soul energy. And so in your case, Gary, it's getting a long way around, but in your case, you'll be coming round from the sixth ray personality, which can be a little hot-headed. It can be maybe a bit of a, you know, life and soul of the party kind of thing, just a bit, you know, it's a little intense, a little over-enthusiastic, let's say. You know, that's the basic energy of this. You'll be more getting into, oh, right, let's do group meditations, not necessarily wanting to go to a church per se, but to go somewhere where you can find some peace. And it may be out in the forest, and maybe a few of you might want to go out into the forest for, you know, a day of just being silent in the forest, or something that is a way of grounding and redistributing that excess energy. Now, does any of that make sense?
To some extent, just to tell you the way I feel about myself, I feel torn between wanting to be sort of like a hippie and want to be part of the love and light people and part of the I forget what that event was the I actually went to it, the Harmonic Convergence.
Oh, yes.
And then feeling a little bit off place and wanting to learn the nastiest of martial arts and just being wanting to be able to be a badass, you know. And I feel torn between those two types of pursuits.
Well, that's your 7 and that's your 6. Your 7, soul energy, requires order and peace and structure for things. Whereas, like I was saying, the sixth ray is I wouldn't say it was a warrior, it's more of a soldier. And if you see the difference, and being a badass, badass, it sounds funny in English. being a kind of tough guy, it's a bit of bravado. And in a way, it's kind of wanting to prove something that is I'm feeling that's a kind of rebellion thing, but that would be the way, you know. It's hot-headed. Do you see what I mean? Although, it's a good way of channeling a hot-headedness is to go into martial arts. I do support that. So, in a way, you're doing yourself a favor in that you're if you can apply the meditation in part of your martial arts to your physical working, then you'll have that part of you more in balance, and you'll actually be in control of yourself, because you don't want to go out and fight, because, you know, that's just going to cause you more karma in the future. You actually want to stop your karma. That's what we're all here to do. We're actually here to end karma. So if it means that you've had to train to do martial arts to do something, it may mean that you have had some difficult karma that you really need to train to be disciplined in order to deal with the situation. It might not mean that you actually have to lay a finger on anything or anybody, but it's actually the discipline of the martial arts that your soul is making you do. Does that make sense, Gary?
Yeah, it does. Now, just to get a little more clarity on these, on the ray numbers, the first one is what you call the monad?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, the monad, now various other disciplines call it the oversoul, what else do they call it? Basically, it's the soul group, the great intelligence, the source. Oh, that's the one, the source that people talk about. You know, when people talk about their source energy, the highest form of God energy available to any human is the monad. And it represents the higher form of mind. You know, so it's a more abstract form of thought processing, rather than thinking linear. So that's the monad, and that's the first number. And then there's the soul, and out of the monad, seven soul groups. So they're all expressing the monad's energy in their own flavor. And those soul groups extend into, each soul is, it's huge. It's like hundreds of people, thousands of people, millions of people. And the current human soul group is that is incarnating at the moment is the Ray 7 soul of the Ray 2 monad. So 2-7 is what you find on the vast majority of humans, as is you. So yours 2-7-6. So then the soul group expresses itself into the world through a certain person. And that personality in your case is Ray 6, and it has those qualities which I listed earlier. Does that make sense?
Just to get more clarity, the first number is that the soul group, or is the second number the soul group?
Second number. So it's the monad, the soul, and the personality. That's the order. There you go.
So it's the group that you belong to, the second number is the soul group that you belong to.
Yeah.
It's not your soul.
Hmm. Okay. Linear mind says that you have a soul.
And you distinguish from spirit.
Okay. You could say that monad was spirit. Monad corresponds to Father in terms of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Monad corresponds to Mother, Soul, Consciousness. It corresponds to the first ray. So it deals with the primary intent of the being. Now, when you say your own soul, that's a very interesting thing because your soul does not consider it to be owned by you. It's more the other way around. It's more like your soul considers you to be like its car. The way you consider your car is it considers you. Or maybe more like a horse. You know, it's the vehicle upon which the soul rides and not necessarily identified. So, for instance, if you generally like green cars, you know, and throughout your life, every car that you bought is green, then that's the quality of vehicle that you're preferring to use. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand that concept, and I believe that that the being, whatever you want to call it, whether it's called the soul or the spirit, occupies the vehicle, which is the body. So that I get. I just wondered in the rays, if the soul is the spirit, or do you distinguish between soul and spirit, or is it the same? Is it the same one? It's a different name for the same entity.
Right. Okay. So, if you like, you could say that the monad was spirit, and the soul was the vehicle to transport spirit to the body. Yet it's a living being.
That confuses me because I've always considered the body the vehicle.
Yeah. But the soul is itself a vehicle for the monad. Yet it is part, you know, it's like a switchboard operator. Is a human organic switching computer. Now that we have digital switches to do what a switchboard operator used to do. Does that make sense?
Go over that one more time.
Old-fashioned switchboard operator. Hello, operator. I want Chattanooga Choo Choo 5. No, what is it? That's the other one. Not Chattanooga Choo Choo. Pennsylvania 65,000, right? Give me Pennsylvania 65,000. And she connects with Pennsylvania by, you know, plugging in these things and then dialing things on the thing and putting it through. Okay? That's a switchboard operator. However, she is not the telephone system. And she is not the person that you want to talk to on the other end. Is she?
I got to think about that.
She is a living entity who is carrying information for you. She is wise. She has her experience. She could help you if you wish to connect with certain spirits. That's what your soul does. And the most important one is the high self, the monad, the spark. And the spark is the piece of God that we all are. It's that part of God that is inside us, that all the books have told us exists as a plasma arc inside our heart. That's what the soul is. It's a high energy being. High energy beings have high energy. They're made of energy. It's a plasma arc, you know? The whole Ark of the Covenant, it's Ark, Spark, it's all the same thing, same word, same meaning. Electricity is intelligent. The universe is an electric universe, and the universe is intelligent, and it's a living thing, and electricity is a living thing. And there's nothing dead in the universe, it's everything living, and we pay the world a lot of disrespect by believing that it's dead and inanimate. But anyway, let's go back to the soul being like the switchboard operator. So it's a medium through which we communicate with spirit. Yet it is a living being itself. And yet we are part of it. Or her. Or him. Or they. It's hard for us to understand how in our separate minds we get to be in a group mind. But if you've ever done group meditations or ever been in a band, ever played music in a band, you know. It's a form of collective consciousness. Little ones at the beginning, and then they all join up. But you retain your individuality, your own flavor, your own additions, your own, you know, wrinkle on it. But at the same time, you're part of a group. And so you're seeing all these millions of people in the world. All getting up. Hey, let's go. You know, let's go to the streets. This is rubbish. and everybody's deciding at the same time. That's because there's telepathy cutting in as well, which is a major part of the seventh ray and something that didn't really exist much in the sixth ray. Because everybody was far too high-headed, apart from the medium, they were all just so whacked out because they had a traumatic lifetime. Anyway, let's have a look. So does that make sense, Gary?
Well, some of the analogies that I get that you say, the problem I'm having with is I always considered my being to be an entity that occupies the body, the physical body, the vehicle, and I considered my entity, my own being, to be created by some master creator. So you're saying that part of the master creator is part of your being, the way I understand it.
Yeah.
A spark.
Yeah, because the master creator is an electric force. It's as you are an electric force. I mean, basically, you've been taught it's like a small subset of reality. And it's more like a big fractal. And so things are structured in some way over there. We'll also be structured in some way over here. Same way. Like the notes on a piano don't work around order. There's lots of order.
Mario, I didn't really understand what you were saying. I can hear you, but I didn't understand what you were saying.
It doesn't. My back can support all the moment.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for the reading. I have to pause about what you said, and as you go through the show, you could touch on some of the things you're talking about and to explain them.
I'm sure that Ray 7 are going to come up.
Thanks very much, sir.
You're very welcome, Gary.
Bye.
And so, Eric 231, greetings, good afternoon.
Hey, JP, how are you tonight? It's Wally over in Michigan.
Wally.
Soon to be Glacier, Michigan.
So, you were 276 the other day, were you?
Pardon?
Did I get 276 for you the other day?
276. 276, that was the number.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the same as Gary. So, Wally and Gary, welcome. You can't be on the same line. My bandwidth is really screwed up tonight. So, I hope everybody's getting it.
What's your Skype? Can I connect with you on Skype?
You can call wolfspirit.switchboard1. That seems to be working.
Okay.
And see if that works.
Okay. You're breaking up pretty bad with me. I can't really understand you.
Wolfspirit.switchboard1. Yes.
Wolfspirit.switchboard1?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me come back. Let me come back. Oh, please. Until that time, I'm going to. Thanks very much, Wally. Yeah, that was really clever. I pressed the close call button instead of drop him. Anyway, We had two people, two gentlemen who had raised 276. So let's drill a little bit into that, and they may come back on. There's ways of grouping people together, but there's also ways of distincting people because, you know, the seventh ray, because it's coming into incarnation now, and because of millions and millions and millions, you know, billions of people are coming in with the seventh ray soul. So it's one massive soul group. The soul is a big thing. It's not something that you can have for yourself. Although you do work, it's like a boss in a way, you know, it's like the boss of your company, your corporation. It's the master of your corporation, your corpse, your physical body. You can choose. All right. So they'll give us this call. Where are you gone? Let's try that again. I've no idea what's happening here. Okay, let's get rid of Bob there and add him on there and see what happens. Yep. Oh, well. Interference. So I don't seem to have any luck getting Bob in there. Bob White. So do try and call again. So where were we? 276. So Monad, Ray 2. Ray 2 Monad, almost all of humanity. 99.99%. And this is generally the intention energy, and the intention of Ray 2 is to love and to bring everybody together and make everybody happy and feed everybody and teach everybody so that everybody's the same, everybody's equal, everybody gets what they need, and this is the energy of the planet. It's like a mother who has 3 or 4 children who also have friends who also come in the house, and they say, "Oh, come in, you know, yeah, there's plenty, you know, there's always abundance." Ray 2 is all about love, abundance, joy, happiness, all these lovely things, healing, nurturing, fixing, all these lovely things. So that's what humans are like. Well, it says old version of Skype, right? Well, let's see if that will work. Don't try and video call me. Right. There. Bob, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Greetings.
Wow, this is really breaking up.
Yeah, I've got terrible issues this week. I've been onto my people. But they're there he's gone. Maybe call in phone. Yeah. What I'm trying to do is get your phone to route itself through Revolution Radio or All Spirit Switchboard, because it's not going to work if it's come through me, because it'll lose its bandwidth. Anyway, so where are we caught to? So we've got the Ray 2 monads. Like I said, you know, people are lovely. That's, you know, real people, you know, human people are lovely because they have this lovely Ray 2 energy, and it's one of the things, you know, if you see Doctor Who or any of these thing about these extraterrestrials who love us, is because we have a loving soul. It's like, well, there you go. Cattle, right? An example of a Ray 2 creature is a cow. Now, I live on a cow farm, and they're absolutely delightful creatures. They're really timid. They're very sensitive. And although they're big and heavy and strong and covered in leather, they're really, really sensitive creatures. They're like, you know, you make a nuance of a movement towards them that's a little too fast, and they'll back off, you know, and that's a big creature. That's like a ton of meat and leather. just kind of moving back there really quickly. So although they're really, you know, really strong, they have a beautiful heart. And, you know, you look into their eyes and you see this, there's no guile, there's no predatory energy. And this is the difference. The difference between Ray 2 and Ray 6, for instance, is, Ray 2 is really nice, and Ray 2 is kind of, is sort of nice. It's like weirdly nice and slightly uncomfortably nice, and maybe sometimes a little over nice. You know, intensely nice. One of the remarks of the Ray 6 is intensity, you know. And of course, you know, America has a Ray 6 personality. And I think, you know, actually, I have to find out about Russia. I've got lots of messages, you know, coming in. We'll see what's going on here. There's all these other messages coming up on that. Oh, I have no idea what's happening here now. Right, okay. So, yeah, sounds like the Skype connection is pretty ropey here. My bandwidth is not very good, so I don't know. Which is a bit silly, because I wanted to do a call-in show, that's really messed it up. But anyway, let's talk about the 7-6 and see if we can move on a little bit from it. In my research, I found a large number of 7th ray souls, and that's what I would expect. That's good, because there's the establishment that we find ourselves in, the soil that we are being placed in, is generally a sixth ray soil. You know, we grew up in the establishment of the church, and of the belief systems, all these belief systems, all this stuff. And that's the sixth ray matrix, and we're looking now towards the end of that, and that's what we're seeing now. And I have the person who I telepathically called earlier on, thinking, I need to speak to you, because there's stuff going on, it's all about Russia. And I'd like to, she's just called in, Nancy Hopkins, welcome, how are you doing? Oh, no, she's gone. Huh? Uh-huh. Well, that went absolutely pear-shaped. Let's see if I can bring her in and see what happens. And Nancy.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Yes, very good. Just a few things. Kill a few processes, that should do the thing. I've got them a million tabs open all over the place. Hello, my dear. I called you today, telepathically.
Well, I went on and I tried to see if I saw any messages from you, because I got the message telepathically. And I couldn't, so I started listening, and then I saw that you were having problems with the signal.
Yeah.
I said, well, let me see if I can get through.
Well, I hope everybody's is hearing you well. I'm just about caught. I'm getting you fine. I've got a little bit of gurgly on that. I'm just trying to close a few processes and see if that does anything.
Well, what I noticed, Jay, I noticed that on Wolf Spirit you were breaking up much worse, and Revolution seemed better.
All right, that's interesting. Maybe there's a whole.
Are you live on Revolution?
Yeah, I'm live on Revolution, so maybe Dave's getting an even more broken up signal from Rev Radio. Anyway, so sounds like the internet is very dirty tonight, and we do our best. So, Nancy, welcome.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Gotcha. All right. I can just trying to get my sound off. Okay, there you go. All right.
I can hit my foot. I was calling you up. Are you?
I'm sorry. Okay, so we're good. I'm good, honey.
Good. Hi, Nancy. How are you doing? Welcome, Nancy Hopkins, to Journeys. Yeah, I've been thinking about you today because, it's all going down, isn't it? It's tomorrow, the end of the world, again. The prophesied beginning of the Third World War, breaking out in Russia and everything. So, let's speak. I wanted to speak to my tame NSA Russian analyst and tell me what who's being manipulated and how do we solve it? Easy questions.
Well, it's interesting because to me, we have no business saying anything to the Russians and the Ukrainians. I think we've got enough on our plates, and I don't know when we became the, God figure on the planet Earth. So I'm like, oh, come on, let's get over this. But then I just read a very interesting article that went on for quite a while listing and naming neo-Nazis that are part of the Ukraine revolution. And it's saying the United States is setting this up as a revolution and, it's all neo-Nazis. And, they went on and I just killed that one accidentally because I was trying to, let me see if I can pull that one back up because it was really kind of scary what it was saying, and if it's true, which I kind of think it is, because it was so detailed. Let me get it. Okay. It's Global Research, which is why, I found that they seem to have, unless somebody knows something I don't, they seem to be legitimate, and they seem to have some very connected information. And what they're saying is, it's written by Professor Michael, Chudzuskowski, I think. Chudzuskowski. Anyway, it sounds Russian to me. And they go on and they're talking about the United States and the European Union have embraced the revolution within the Ukraine, the flowering of democracy. And that in reality, the forbidden truth is that the West is engineered, according to them, through a carefully staged covert operation, the formation of a proxy regime integrated by neo-Nazis. It's confirmed by the Assistant Secretary of State of the Ukraine. The Western media has avoided the information. And they go through and they actually talk about the composition of the coalition government. And they are saying that we are not dealing with a transitional government in which neo-Nazi elements integrate the fringe of the coalition formerly led by the Fatherland Party. And they're saying that these people are out to control, that it's not a fringe group. It's actually a well-orchestrated group of neo-Nazis. And they name them. They go through telling who they are, where they are. So. But I'll do, I'm not even on chat anymore, but I'll give you the link. Anybody that
sure.
wants to see it
yeah.
can take a look because it is very, very detailed. So let me just give it to you here. I think we're on this one. Maybe not. Maybe I'm on this one. Sorry, I've also got so many things up right now. I'm not sure what I'm doing.
I've got the mental equivalent of having too many tabs open as well.
Yeah, it's really strange, and I can't seem to get your tab back up. Anyway,
yeah, I know that feeling too.
Can you see the Wolf Spirit switchboard? All right, let me see if I got you now. Okay, now I've got you, and I'm going to stick it here because it was fascinating. It's detailed enough to make me think that if this is BS, somebody went through a lot of work to get it up. And my suspicion is that is exactly what's happening. That, what I think is that the Nazis never disappeared. They just integrated themselves within the Freemason organizations in order to get into positions of control within the United States. And that neo-Nazi is a, and it's funny, it's because they're talking in the article about how nobody wants to use the term neo-Nazi, because neo-Nazi, what does it mean? It means that the Nazi party, the basic fundamental fascist concept, that you've got democracy, and democracy is all for one. Communism is one for all. And when you've got fascism, you've got all for the state. And in Nazi Germany, it was the party. In this case, the state is this, not even the United States, not Britain, not any other state. It's this massive conglomerate economical powerhouse that is controlling everything.
Okay. Nancy, hold that thought. Don't go away. We'll continue with some Russian analysis and how that might affect the race. Stay tuned to Journeys with JP. Welcome back to Journeys with JP. And tonight I'm doing a sort of open mic thing, but I'm speaking with Nancy Hopkins, who at one time was the only person in the NSA who knew anything about Russia. I mean, it was a long time ago, but at the time you became the expert, and you gained a lot of information and therefore wisdom from having to deal with all of that data. And so what I'm looking at, in a way, is to see what your intuition is telling you. The fact is, idea. The concept that I've just come up with, I'm sure some other people have thought about it, but we've seen through history the development of the Nazi Germany that happened in the 1930s. And we saw how the economy was crashed, and we know now that it was the Rothschilds who crashed the economy, that we saw how the nation was in chaos, and you know, buckets of wheelbarrowfuls of money for bread, and etc. We've seen all that, and the desperation, and the savior complex, and the rise of the Nazi Party. Everything's beautiful and flowers, and you know, in Germany, the Nazi Party was a great thing. It rose as a messiah, group messiah. This is what they were looking for, but it actually turns out to be the anti-messiah, you know, Adolf Hitler and his Nazi party. But now, here in 2014, we're now looking at the same kind of thing. We're seeing a global devaluation, a global monetary crash, global chaos. There seems to be chaos everywhere, and we're looking at the rise of Nazi Earth. Knowing that we know who is doing it, what can we say about this? What does your intuition tell you or tell us? What can your intuition share with us, Nancy, about what's going on and how we can do something about it?
Well, that's really...
Yeah, easy question, no pressure.
I'm laughing because it's like, what is it? You know, it's like, if we go with the concept that the Russians, and for people that don't really understand it, you had the Soviet Union. Now, the Soviet Union, outside of its borders, then had the Warsaw Pact. But within the borders of the Soviet Union itself was basically Imperial Russia. And Imperial Russia, the history of it, it goes in cycles. You have basically a very powerful, I mean, the head of the emperors of the Russians were very, very powerful people. And if you look in terms of the cycle, what would happen is that they would go from being... looking like benevolent, like Hitler, benevolent beings, and then they would get into the, you know, power corrupts, and they would get into the evil thing, and they would suck the guts out of the populace until there was nothing left. And this is what always strikes me as being really stupid is, like, if you want to lead a country, then keep them happy. Keep them happy and you're not going to have any problems. But when you suck them dry and they have nothing else to do except revolt, well, it's not a very smart move. And yet, historically, that part of the world, the people would always end up with somebody that was screwing them bad, and then they finally say, enough of this, and they would have some kind of an uproar, and there'd be revolution in this part, and then they would get back, and then there would be a benevolent leader that come up, and the whole thing would start again. So what you have is, if you look at it right now, you've got a situation where when the Soviet Union broke up, you broke up into different nation states, conceivably in the minds of the people that were saying, no, we're not going to go with Russia. We want to be our own people. But within the concept of the Russian mind, the people in Moscow, the Putin himself, you may be a part of Russia, but you are Russia in the big term of Russia. They have put too much Russian blood in the ground. They have spent too much culture and social interactions to think of these Ukrainians as being anything other than part of the overall Russian power. So they're going to act as they've done historically. They're going to say, no, that's enough of that. And they do it smarter because they do try to keep the people happier over there. Now, we can look at it from that standpoint, or we can look at it from the standpoint of when the Soviet Union was broken apart, then you did have all these little subgroups. And the subgroups were weak because they didn't have all of the, they didn't have their own traditions. They were merged with the Russian traditions. So you have an area now that can be targeted by people who want to manipulate a fairly stable situation and manipulate them into doing something that will destabilize Russia. Because let's face it, if you are looking at Russia versus the United States from a worldwide perspective, then you're seeing them equal. You're not seeing that Russia is anything less than the United States. In the minds of the people of the world that I talk to, it's like the United States is a very dangerous, dangerous thing. And now the Russians are beginning to take over a prominence in the minds of people who are looking for stability, because they have more stability from the vantage point of people other than those in the United States that keep being told that we're the best in the world. Well, the rest of the world doesn't think that anymore. So it's almost, if my intuition tells me that this is an outside force that is creating, feeding the neo-Nazi movement that they're talking about in order to keep Putin and the Russians off guard, unstable, and looking at a problem that's internal instead of stepping up like he was setting himself, Putin was setting the Russians up for, to take a bigger world stage. That's why he spent so many billions of dollars in the Olympics. And if you go back just a few weeks ago, oh my God, the Olympics were going to be a disaster. Nothing was going to work. It was like one bad porn fear after another regarding the Olympics. And then the Russians pulled it off brilliantly, and it was a success. So now the people who are against Russia are looking at it and going like, well, that didn't work. And so now they're trying something else, because I'm pretty sure in my guts that Putin knows a hell of a lot more than I do, and that he does understand the situation that confronts the world, that you do have a cabal of bankers and financiers that are running the show. And he has gotten with the BRIC nations, that's Brazil, Russia, India, and China have gotten together, and now they're talking to one another saying, you know, this United States-led group of people who are trying to rule the world are our ultimate enemy, and we have to join together in order to confront them. But let's do it in a more peaceful way. And I know this runs contrary to what Americans feel towards China and Russia, but you're buying into the concept of cosmic reality, that reality one is that reality is what you think it is, majority rules, and three, that the people who are in charge are going to keep you from knowing that. Well, we keep thinking the system is too big to fail. My God, if it fails, we're all going to be in deep kimchi. Well, the reality is that the system has failed. It's failed. Everybody in the world knows it, except the citizens of America and Britain and a few other NATO places, because they're not paying attention. It's not working.
As the speaking clock says, precisely.
Yes. I don't know what's happening in my
yard.
Yeah,
even your dog.
Yeah, well, because the energies are so creepy. I mean,
yeah. I've had such a terrible pain in my stomach the last couple of days. And that's okay. My sign that there's something up.
Yes, it's you know, and what do we do personally? Well, we just do what we've been doing, is to you know, bring it out into the light and talk about it. But also to just realize that the Russian people are not our enemy. There is no people in the world that is our enemy. Our enemy is ourselves, the ones that we allowed this to happen, because we allowed ourselves to dream the dream that everything was fine. I mean, ever since John Kennedy was assassinated, you had to know something was wrong. And yet, no, everything is all right. This is the story we're going with. And so we walk down this road of being complacent, of not wanting to stand up and take charge. When we realized that there was a problem, it was such a big problem that nobody knew what it was. But the reality, again, is it's not a big problem at all. It's just that they've made us think it is. It's a nothing problem. It's mirrors. It's smoke. Let it go. Don't be afraid. They work on your fear, and that's what they're doing here. Most people, I think, that watch the Olympics, and I did. I always watch the Olympics, but you walked away with a feeling of Russia being a pretty good place. When you left the Chinese Olympics, you felt like, oh, Chinese people, they're nice. They pulled off a great Olympics. So every time these guys are pulling these things off and the people of the world are looking at it and going like, oh, well, that's really, really very interesting. And it was very, the presentations and the opening events and everything, it was... you felt good. Now you go to the Olympics in Britain, in London, and they had those horrible images in their ceremony.
It's like a nightmare.
It was like a nightmare. You couldn't wake up.
Actually, Nancy, welcome to London. London can be a dream or a nightmare.
I mean, it was almost like they were throwing down the gauntlet. You know, like, okay, you guys want to be this, you know, nice Chinese people and the little, you know, all the little dolls and the people were so pretty. And, you know, we know behind the scenes it's a different story, but we're talking about presentations. And then you have, you know, this London thing that was just insane. It was so dark. And, you know, there was all the internet buzz about them going to have a nuclear bomb go off, and it was scary as can be. So they tried the same thing over in Russia, making us scared of it. But Russia comes up, and what's the last thing the Russians did? They had this big bear this big, soft, cuddly bear that was, like, waving to everybody, you know? So if you just look at the images that are being presented by the world, you see those big, bad Chinese and those big, bad Russians showing us these lovely little scenes, and the British, you know, if it was over here, it would have been us, but the British, you know, instilling these images of dark and gloom. And I just found that to be, whether they intended it or whether it just came about to be such a statement for where we're at. Yes, boys and girls, there is a rabbit hole, and there is a tea party, and there are all these crazy people that are running a reality of off with their heads. The Ukrainians are being invaded by the Russians. Off with their heads. We have been at war. Okay, we have not been at war. Look at reality and see the truth. Just look at the images given in the Olympics. We have a battle in front of us. It's the battle that's been raging for eternity between good and evil. It's as simple as that. So what we have to decide is this a war that we can fight, and is it a war that we can win? Yes, it's a war that we can fight, and it is a war that we can win, but we have to do it in our minds. We can no longer sit there and listen to whatever the television or the newspapers or the magazines or even a lot of the internet tells us. We have to begin to connect at levels of energy that will create a new reality. And it's just like we talked about the last time we were together, Jay, about the free will concept, that free will gives us the right to create whatever reality we want to create. So I go back to the concept of thought forms, is that we have to begin to unify and understand that when you look at a situation and you make a judgment one way or the other, you are tipping the scales one way or the other with energy. So if we tell you that our intuition and the facts as they're coming about tell us this is another false flag, that they're trying to get us all scared to death, that they're trying to pull off the Third World War again, don't let it happen. Use your mind. Say, no, this isn't going to happen, because we have no options. If we can't fight with our minds, what are we going to fight with? We have no options. And yet everything that I've learned in 65 years tells me that our minds, our capabilities of changing reality, was the key to the puzzle of where we find ourselves. So I think it's desperation. They're trying to motivate fear. They're trying to keep Putin and the Russians focused on internal problems instead of standing up and keeping an eye on what the next move is. Because one thing I've learned about these people is that when they got you looking at something over here, they're doing something over there. And that's what we need to know. Okay, they're doing this here, but what are they doing behind us? What is their real goal? I do not believe that they're prepared to have a nuclear exchange with the Russians. I mean, you might as well, because this isn't going to make sense to anybody. You know, if you can have an attack on Pearl Harbor in order to get into the fight with Germany and Japanese, okay, that's going to be believable by the world. If you're going to try to do this where you're going to have a nuclear war with Ukraine, that's not going to be believable. You've got to have a better reason than that. So to me, they're keeping us occupied looking at this, and they're doing something else. what that something else is something that, we have to kind of, like, focus on.
Nancy.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
We've got Tracy's coming in, and I'm going to see if we can have a successful freeway on this, on my narrow bandwidth. So if we can all sort of shift across and see if we can...
Do you want me to drop off?
Well, let's have a look. I'd love to have you look on because of the anything that might happen. But anyway, so is Tracy and not answering a call. Anyway, oh, there you are. Hi. Tracy. Got your headphones. She can hear you.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, can hear us now.
Hi.
There you are. You're still listening to the broadcast. Are you listening to the Skype?
I was.
Hello. We're on air with Nancy Hopkins and now Tracy Kennedy. And from Trace Elements, Turtle Island News, what is going on, Tracy?
Well, what a great show so far. I just want to compliment you on to start off with, eh? And,
thank you.
You talk about the energies, and I have to say today was terrible and awesome for me. In the same way, you haven't spoken much of the genetic energies of, like, the race. So much, my son got himself a bit. I of course did what I normally feel, and then this what happened. I'm done in this situation. I guess the cold part is knew there was something. And I called my father, who understands me in ways I can't explain. I said, Dad, have you seen him and my son? People, no. He said, no. I said, what's wrong? This is wrong. And he goes, that if you feel something's wrong, call me and I'll remember what it be. I don't know how you research. But yes, it was me, yes, it was wow. And this young man who is born almost in the opposite energy of me. Born June 21st, who know these things. I'm an Aries. We usually are heated, so emotional, we sound emotional. When I'm after a topic, I'm usually not emotional. I am like a arrow searching target. He is like all over the place and deals with everything. But a week ago, we had this thing where I started doing this breathing exercise. And Ed found it on YouTube. So, I didn't make it up. I didn't get it from a higher power. Well, the exact same day I started doing it, my son started doing it. And, he came in the house and we were just having dinner and he just like randomly told me he was doing this thing. And when I left, I said, okay, my brother, give me a hug. I'd never called him that before, but I felt it at that moment, Jay. Do you know what I mean?
So what was wrong? We're awake. What was wrong?
Well, what was wrong is my son is in prison right now.
Oh, right. And what happened?
What happened was he took one of his cousins to go see another cousin, and was driving in the wrong lane. Seriously. There's a city in Canada where they have a lane specifically now, within the last 3 weeks, is designated for buses only. He was driving in that lane. Didn't know it. So they pulled him over, asked the boys for ID. They gave him, and apparently he is not allowed to see his cousin. Because of an incident that happened 3 years ago, which his cousin did nothing to start. There had been a fight go on. My son and this young man had nothing to do with it. They were just there, wrong time, wrong place. My son was driving a very nice car. He is tall, lean, and dark of skin. No one else who was in the car, and there were four of them, got taken to jail. My son is there now. And I felt it, Jay. I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew something.
So, can you describe the flavor? The feeling? Where in your body did you feel it first?
My stomach. Just under my navel. I woke up and felt like I had been stabbed. And I felt nauseous, a little dizzy, disorientated. And I stood up, and there was like this rush of feeling and this smell of sulfur and this color of purple everywhere. Immediately I knew it had to do with my son. I can't describe why. But I knew it had to do with my son, so I started tracking him down because I'm obsessive that way. I'm obsessive, and then I question myself. So I called my father because he's my touchstone. I said, Dad, I think something's wrong with Damon. Did he come and see you? And he said, no. And my dad lives in Hamilton, is about 45 minutes from me. He goes, talk to Brian. I said, it's probably nothing. He goes, no, it's probably something. And I said, why? He goes, you're feeling something, Trace. He goes, and this is your gift. Unfortunately, your gift doesn't usually have to deal with you. If you think something's wrong, keep looking. He goes, call me back in 20 minutes. I'm going to sit by the phone and wait. So I called my son's father. We're still friends, of course. And I said, Brian, did you see Damon? He goes, yes, he was at the house. He was here. We went out, and I said, something's wrong. Brian said the same thing, which is, like, so freaking cool. We don't talk much, but he still believes in me, which is awesome. He goes, call me back in 5 minutes when you find out what's wrong. Because he didn't even question. He didn't even question. He goes, you think something's wrong? Something's wrong. Find out what it is. Call me back. So, my son was taken to jail. And we were not told, or he was not allowed to call. I don't know which. I don't want to do a conspiracy theory about this, but I know it was wrong. I found him, and Brian, his father, and my father are going to be there tomorrow when he has his hearing, or whatever you call it, and find out why they're holding him. Well, part of it, I know he was with someone who went against his surety. He was not supposed to see him. They were going to a concert, a rap concert, to hear his buddy. This is what happened. My son has a big heart. His cousin was like horribly abused. I might have done the same thing, so I can't blame him for that. But I felt it, Jay. I felt it in a way that I haven't in a long time. And you've been talking this whole evening about people's awareness spiking. You know, I did readings last weekend, and I only fasted for one day to do it. That's a first for me. And they were really good, I must say.
Well, that's very good news, because I think one day you won't need to fast at all. But anyway.
Maybe. For me, it's just that maybe at this point already, it's just a ritual.
So, well, basically, with the court, they all want is money. You know, it's a commercial operation, so there's no big deal. He's, you know, driving in the bus lane, and you didn't know. Ignorance is no excuse. How much money do you want? That's all it is. That's all they want is money.
They want money. So. They want money, but they have one of the most eloquent men on this planet. Standing up for my boy. That's my son. My dad. So, if there's a way this situation can be talked out, it will be done.
Well,
and they have Brian, who's equally eloquent.
This is your Ukraine situation. This is your personal Ukraine.
I'm freaking out a little bit.
Well, don't freak out, because this is your personal Ukraine. How do you solve this? You got to realize what's going on and not freak out.
How I solved the problem is I called in help. I called in the big guys. I called my dad. I called Brian, my son's father. I said, I need you. I'm going to take care of this thing. I don't even have to go. I actually tried today, for the first time in 6 months, to go down the elevator in my building. I immediately tossed my cookies, so that's probably not a good plan. I reached out for help, which, you know, I hate doing, but I did that. And I was right that my son needed my help, and, you know, all these things are taken care of. So when I said it was horrible and awesome, that's the awesome part of it.
So, not exactly unforeseen circumstances. You knew something was going on. Did you catch that in any of your readings? Did you do a reading for yourself?
When I read for myself, unless I ask a specific question, I don't see this specific answer. Like, my readings are very specific. Very specific. This is your question. This is what you get. It doesn't usually talk about other things. Unless I'm doing an expansive reading where I'm going to read everything. People usually don't want that from me. But I could have, and I didn't do that for myself, no. I just knew he was in trouble and just felt it.
So there's a situation that is like the worst possible thing.
Oh, my God, right?
Yeah, well, because we're looking, you know, at the world right now. There's a grand cross. This is it. This is the grand cross. So in your personal life, you got the Grand Cross.
Yes.
Something is forcing you to choose some way of behaving, some
yeah.
path of action that is the correct path of action, that rather than stir up the tension, you slowly back away. And that releases the tension. Hmm?
His friends called me, told me what was going on. And, you know, his first friend that I called, I said, this is going to sound so weird, but I think something is wrong with Damon. Do you know anything? He got silent for almost 2 minutes and said yes. I said, okay, what's going on? My first reaction was to freak right the heck out. And then I calmed down and listened. I said, okay, I'm going to take care of this. And you know what was really cool? He had a sigh of relief. Like, he even trusted that I just could. When I didn't think I could, he just thought, Tracy's here, it's going to be fine. It's really cool to find out how people feel about you when you don't feel that about yourself.
Sometimes it's a bit like being a fountain. You spray out. You just spray out. You just have to keep spraying. So, yeah. So, Mama takes control and, having freaked out, calms down. So, how do you solve this situation? You realize what it's about. What's the outcome? What's happened?
The outcome will happen tomorrow. I have sent in my nights, basically. I could not send a stronger force than Brian and my father. There are no two stronger males on the planet, as far as I'm concerned, to take care of this individual. If there is a way to handle this situation, they will. If there is a way that they can't handle the situation, they will call me and bring me in. And I trust that. I actually trust that completely. That it's going to be okay. I spent my morning terrified. But now I 100% know that'll be fine, because they will know how to handle it, even if it means calling me in.
I think you'll get a visit from the three boys. they'll come home together.
Yeah, everyone will come home.
Yeah, I think they'll come up to your flat.
Brian's called me more today than we've spoken in the last 5 years. I have no doubt. And, you know, even when I question myself, because there's, like, so many things going on in my life, and I think for everybody right now that I was just cast upon the rocks last week. Anything that could go wrong did. Like, so horrifically, Jay. And yet, all of these things just worked out. And it worked out because I asked for help. I said, you know what, I need this. It wasn't even a metaphysical kind of thing. I said out loud, I need your help, to people. And people responded and were there for me. That's, for me, a tough thing to do. Showing my vulnerability and suckiness Yeah, I still think of it as that.
Well, that's what you need to let go of then.
I'm working on it.
Well, because, I mean, that's probably really getting in the way. And just because we can't do everything alone, you know.
We can. And when we ask for help, surprisingly, miraculously, people say, okay, you just need to tell me. And that's really cool. Really, really cool. Brian gets to be my big strong hero again. I didn't realize until now. He is still having a little problem with our breakup and stuff. It's only been 18 years, but maybe I never told him that. And when I ask for it, he's right there, which is really freaking cool. You think, you know, most people think that you can't fix things after this amount of time. We're not together. We're not a couple. There's nothing going on other than our heart has never disconnected, I guess. I don't break up well either.
The other thing, Tracy. No. The other thing is that, you know, it's his son as well.
You know. And he was right there for him.
Yeah. And that's what's really important. You know, yesterday, my son was 18. He turned 18. Well, when I say yesterday, he's a leap baby. He didn't have exactly a birthday this year. He's, you know, 14 and a half or whatever.
Four.
Yeah. And a half.
Okay.
Age four and a half. Anyway, so what's happening is that, you know, everybody's given their challenge to rise to. And actually, it's not such a huge thing. It's perfectly capable because we're not asked to do things that we're incapable of. The only thing that we're not capable of is ignoring the fear. Because that's what it's all about. It's about getting over the fear of it that makes the initiation. It's not about what it is. In fact, it could be, for somebody, it could be just like stepping onto a local stage in an open mic, which might be more terrifying than being able to walk on the stage in Wembley or the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Terrifying is different for everyone, right?
Degree.
Damon will walk out there and not see me and possibly not know what I did today. But I think part of him will know. You know, when I called Brian, said, because they won't answer the phone or tell you anything. He's a grown man now. He's 22. Oh, my God, a grown man. But they won't tell you anything. Brian went down there and found out where he is and, you know, was there. And it was so beautiful knowing you're not alone, right? I know I talk about this much on my shows, but when you really feel it, really see it, that you're not alone, it lifts a weight off. I didn't even realize I was carrying.
So that's the beautiful part of it.
Yeah, that was
that
beautiful.
Even through the crisis, you had a realization.
I was protected.
Always.
By big, strong, sexy man, I would like to say shout out to the men on the planet who rock like the Flintstones when you call them and ask. Oh my God, girls, can you imagine what if that's all we ever had to do?
Well, yeah, men don't get hints very well, but they do respond very well to direct questions and direct requests. That's the best way of engaging a man. Could you do X now? Yes, dear. Easy. Could you build a shelf? You know,
there's nothing what to do.
Yeah, I mean, hinting at something doesn't work, you know?
They're not asking, girls.
Yeah.
They're not going to read your mind or bend your spoon.
That's right. Unless they're trained remote viewers, and even then they probably still wouldn't. It's like that thing that Einstein, Albert Einstein said. It's like, my wife doesn't understand me. I love that one.
Well, no.
I don't know if anybody would, but yeah. Anyway, having strong men to stand up for you, being able to stand up and just do what you're asked to do, that's the responsibility of the moment. Or...
Yes.
Sometimes not do what you're not asked to do. That's, you know, that's an even more difficult path for the initiation. Sometimes you shouldn't do anything. Sometimes you just need to not do what you're being offered to do or driven to do. Yeah.
And it's so odd, you know. I've been listening to your readings tonight and really feeling them. You know, Brian is artistic and all back-brained, you know. He sees music in everything around him. I am more an engineer. I see the patterns. I see the symmetry. I didn't realize how we're seeing the same thing. Just in different perspective of it. And, you know, what we think of as strong is just part of what strength is. You know, when I asked him for help, he was there and called me all day to make sure I was okay. And I was not. I was a hot friggin' mess, by the way. Emotional, frantic, losing my mind, went to kill all those friends, threaten their lives too. I need to call and apologize for that.
Damon's mum's now calmed down and will make a public announcement soon.
Yes. Damon's mum has now officially, will not come and kill you people. Yeah.
Anyway, so...
So it was beautiful, too.
Interesting. And so and the thing is, you could see it as a night of initiation for Damon, too. You know, he'll be less inclined to be reckless having spent a night in jail.
Oh, no. No, he won't. He is going to probably do a similar thing again because he follows his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And would I not do the same thing? Now he's going to mess up again. And we will stand by him again. God. Yes, his mother would prefer him to live in a bubble. I actually told him when he was about 4, you know what, I'm not letting you out of the house till you're 45. That's my plan. That did not work, obviously.
That's a poor plan.
Yeah.
Not a very effective manifesto or a constitution or whatever.
No.
unworkable. You know, because you don't want a 40-year-old virgin.
Well, I kind of did.
Anyway. Yeah, there is, that's the thing, that's the purity about the little boy. It's so pure and innocent, and, you know, everybody loves that little innocence, and it's, you know, and that's the food of abuse, and it's the hunger for that that is our problem in the world, and we could probably trace that all the way back to the situation going on in Russia, in Ukraine. Funny they call it the Ukraine and Crimea. Crimea sounds like a place where there's lots of crime. It's lots of crime, yeah? Hey?
And Ukraine. Yeah, it is interesting.
Yeah. Now, Ukraine. That's like an insult.
Mom.
Ukraine, you mongoose. Sorry.
Year, as in the ancient city of Year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not so weird that we are living in the days of the Moses once again.
Yeah, so in the dying minutes of tonight's journey, that's been quite an evening. Obviously, it's quite a day for a lot of people, and it's this Grand Cross, I think, that is doing it. It's looking...
We stand at the time when the new God should reveal himself, basically, if one believes in these things, that he actually was born in 1991, and he should now come out and say, I am. The guy, the Christ, he's here. We are living in magnificent, terrible times. Once again.
And on the precipice.
Oh God, we have the lightning from heaven in charge of the United States. We have the archangel. In charge, this is what the Barack Obama means. Yeah, we're in the times. We're here right now. The whole Super Bowl proclaimed the arrival. Here they are. What are we going to do?
But that also means it's the arrival of the scaled up version of the Führer.
The Führer. Yeah, well, because they've orchestrated all of this.
Yeah.
You know, the Nazis never died. They were just hired out. Nazi. Come on.
NASA. The Nazis are still active. Yeah, that's what I always say.
Nazi. That's what that is. It's a S. Make it easy. It's easy. A can be an I. Yeah, it's anagram for, hey, here we are.
Having torn a hole in space and time, they continue to wreak havoc and basically mess up the carpet. tread the dog poo into the carpet. As they walk into the...
I asked the question, Jay, a couple of times now, that how do we know what's happened before? What if the reason people can't remember the 60s is that's just been wiped out? That we won for a minute, and we were just wiped a bit.
Or they've been using time travel technology to erase the good stuff.
Or I got a picture today, which is awesome. I got to share this with you. I was one of those little naked, butted babies sliding down the mudslide at Woodstock. I still have the ribbon I wore in my hair. Mom sent me the picture today, which is weird because I have not told Mom what's happened to my son because she's on vacation.
Okay, well, let's hope nothing will have happened as far as Mom's concerned. Tracy, good luck. Everybody, thank you for calling in. Gary, Larry, Wally, Nancy, Tracy. This is JP. What a journey this is. Good night, everybody, and thank you.